Hey, this is Scott Love. Thanks for joining us on NALP Talk, the official podcast for the National Association for Law Placement. Today, we're talking with Nikaya Gray about change and transition in the association, and later we'll hear from Tony Waller, the outgoing president of NALP, and Rebecca Coleman, the incoming president of NALP. Nikaya, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And so anytime there's a change that brings a lot of energy, it brings a lot of enthusiasm. Tell me, what's on your mind as we've gone through a significant change in the life cycle of NALP?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, first off, we are so thankful to our leaders, and particularly to Tony and Rebecca for their leadership and willingness to dedicate so much of themselves to the NALP community. You know, taking on the president's role is such a big ask for anyone, and it makes such a difference to our membership and the lawyers and students they support. You know, NALP drives positive change in individuals' career and the broader industry, and the president's vision is such an important piece of that. So, you know, what I'm thinking about when we're having a change is, what is this president bringing? How are they going to drive our mission forward and our community forward? And
That's great.
You know, Tony was such a fantastic leader, and Rebecca is going to be also such an amazing leader.
It's also nice to see how people with different personalities, different perspectives, bring a unique twist when they make that change in leadership. Tell me about Tony. What are some of the high points in your memories of him in his leadership role with the association?
Yeah, you know, Tony is such a larger-than-life personality, and he brought that energy to every interaction with members, right? And I learned a lot from him. He's got this saying about being a doer, right? And that means, you know, just getting it in there and getting things done. And he's such a good example of that. And he had a number of task forces under his business plan that we carried out around, you know, first-year diversity fellowships and how to support students through that and how to make the industry better with regards to those fellowship programs. He had initiatives around Section 303 of the ABA and supporting our members and in figuring out how to comply with that. He started a new task force on Native and Indigenous lawyers and students in the legal profession, working to better support those individuals. So he had just a lot of great visionary initiatives in his business plan. And he brought such energy to completing those tasks.
That's great. It's nice to see people that have heart and that also are effective in how they get things done and bring people together. And so tell us about Rebecca. How long have you known her? And what are some of the things that we can expect from her leadership in the coming year?
You know, Rebecca was one of the first members I met when I joined NALP and came on as executive director. Everyone was like, oh, you've got to meet Rebecca. You've got to meet Rebecca. So I'd heard a lot about her and met her shortly after joining. And she is another person that I just really admire. She's a very straightforward New Yorker, right? And she doesn't shy away from tackling the difficult problems. And we've got a number of great initiatives planned for this next year that I really look forward to working with her on.
That's great. Well, thanks for kicking off this episode, Nikaya. And here we'll listen to Tony and Rebecca.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, this is Scott Love. I've got Tony Waller, our current president of NALP, with us today. Tony, thanks for joining us on the NALP Talk podcast.
Scott, thanks for having me.
And so tell me, within your term as president, let's start with this. What are some of the more memorable highlights of your term?
For me, it's always about the people, right? So the highlight's getting to know our members. Travel this year and represent the organization, whether it be the Canadian Midwinter Meeting, Legal Recruiting Summit, Professional Development Institute, and Newer Professionals Forum. I mean, the Newer Professionals Forum is just so much good energy. We love it.
That's great. So, Tony, what would you say the general vibe, the general feeling was of the association this year during your term as president?
I mean, I think there are a lot of changes happening in the profession that affect both our employer and school side's members. But, you know, I think we all are, like, we do this because we like helping people. And being in a position to be at the forefront of figuring out what's best for our students and also on the employer side, what's best recruiting strategy for our employers, I think we've worked really hard to provide information in a forum for people to have those discussions in a way that allows us to continue to be like at the forefront of the legal hiring profession. And I'm really excited about the work we've done this year.
That's great. I would say this is kind of like a social workers convention.
You know, it's not an inaccurate descriptor, right? Because we all do this because we're like, If you ask anyone why they went to law school, they went to law school to help people generally. Yeah. And we get to do that because a lot of us are lawyers. And those of us that aren't lawyers, they're probably smarter than us for not going to law school. But they do this because they like helping people.
Yeah, absolutely right. What was something that you learned during your term?
Let me think about that. I think the most important thing I learned is just continue to amaze me the capacity for our members to ideate and to support one another. Like I've done this, I've been in NALP for 20 years, and it just never ceases to amaze me the capacity we have for lifting each other and helping each other.
Yeah, that's great. That's a long time. What's kept you closely involved? What's motivated you to rise into a leadership role today?
It really is about the service. I mean, I have vivid memories of I went to the very first Newer Professionals Forum in February 2001 and just walking in and thinking like, these are my people,
yeah.
Right? That's just like that feeling of being at home and being a part of that really has motivated me to seek opportunities for leadership.
Yeah. And I've noticed that whenever I talk to my clients, internal recruiting departments at firms, I ask them, hey, are you going to NALP? Yes, I'm really excited about that. No one ever says, oh, gee, I have to go to another NALP conference. They really like coming.
Yeah. I hope people get that out of it. It's our biggest one ever this year in Boston, and I'm very excited about it.
So what's one thing that surprised you the most during your term?
You know, I think the thing that surprised me, I think the thing that past presidents try to tell you about is the amount of engagement you have with members is, while it's fantastic, a lot of people think that you are like, you have a lot going on, so they don't want to bother you. And I guess fundamentally I knew that, but it was a little surprising that anytime I sought out to chat with people about things going on, people were almost apologetic that I was reaching out to them. And I was like, no, please, I want to talk to you, right? It was just interesting.
Yeah. So you think your term has been a net positive in terms of the time and commitment that you put into it?
Oh, it's fantastic.
So when people think about getting involved in leadership, they might say, well, it's going to take time. It's going to take time away from my job. What recommendations would you give to those people that are thinking about getting more involved in NALP? Is it a net positive or a net negative in terms of their time and contribution?
Oh, it's an incredible net positive. I literally will spend the rest of my career trying to repay NALP for what this year's meant to me and being involved in NALP in this way is meant to me. There's no possible way. I mean, it's just the ability to network with people, the ability to meet people, the ability to see perspectives that you can't possibly know by only being in your organization. They help me do my job better. My students are better served from that. The University of Georgia is better served from that.
Yeah.
And there's just no possibility that I'll be able to repay that.
Well, tell me a story of somebody that you know in NALP where you saw them join as a new member and you saw them give a little more, contribute, sit on committees, and now they're in a significant leadership role. Tell me about that person.
Yeah. So I can think of a two current board members who I've known for some time were moderately involved, but just over time got more and more involved, ran for elective office, volunteered for committees or sections, and went forward multiple times for the board, and now they're sitting on the board, and it's super exciting to me to see people do that, but you don't have to be on the board either. Like, that's not everybody's path. Some people's employers don't support that. And that's, while I think that is unfortunate, it's a thing.
Right.
But there are so many different ways to get involved. You know, it's just what capacity you have, whether you can write a bulletin article, whether you can do proposals for the annual education conference or professional development institute or the public service conference. You know, those are all things that you can do that is a direct benefit to your employer on top of benefiting NALP.
Yeah, that's great. So let's kind of go down that path a little bit. Let's just say there's somebody listening to this. They've been involved for a few years and they want to get more involved. And they think they might get some pushback from their leadership of their school or their firm or wherever they work. What advice would you give to that person? How can they communicate the value of NALP to some of their direct supervisors?
It's really about making the business case to directly benefit your employer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I just laid out a couple of ways right there. If you're on the school side, of course, people have access to and connections with and being seen as a leader in the legal recruiting space and having the access to legal recruiters. If you're on the employer side, let's say you're a smaller or mid-sized employer, we are all tasked with incredible responsibilities. And in a smaller or mid-sized employer, for example, you might be wearing five hats. Well, having access to resources to people who are also doing that same job, or people who have better practices or whatever, it's about making the business case for how you not only will you be a better professional, but how being a better professional benefits your employer.
Right. And I've seen just in the association conferences, the ones that I've been to, people don't have their walls up. They're open to meeting you and talking with you, and you never know where that's going to go. Even just walking the conference floor among all the vendors, even if they aren't actually going to be something you're going to purchase their solution for, just getting to know them, there might be some idea that at least comes out of that conversation that could be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the vibe. I mean, we are an organization that exists to empower our members to be better professionals.
Yeah.
And we do a fantastic job of that.
That's fantastic, indeed. So who are some people you'd like to give credit and recognition to for the work that they've done to help the association?
Oh, wow. It is dangerous when you start trying to thank people, but you know, there are a couple of people. Our outgoing past president, Colin Real, who did a fantastic job leading us through our executive director search a year and a half ago. He and his co-chair, Jen Hemphy, really landed us in a great situation with Nakaya, who was a guest on your first podcast. And Nakaya and the staff, the work they've done this year, all of them to keep. Yeah, you know, we're in a fantastic financial position because of their stewardship and the work they do. I mean, they put on, you know, 60 events this year, serving several thousand members, and it is we literally could not do that without NALP staff. So you know, I think those are two, or you know, NALP staff and Carl, his work and the work that he and Jen Hemphy did really stand out over the past couple of years.
That's great. That's fantastic, Tony. And what are some of the things you're going to miss the most about being president?
You know, it's interesting. I haven't really reflected on that very much. I will say that it will be, you know, selfishly, it's going to be hard not being part of the, you know, the policy decisions and being a part of making decisions for the future of NALP. It's not that that's not, I can't contribute to that. It's just won't be in the room.
Yeah.
And that's one of those interesting things. You know, it's funny. One of my children, I have three teens. One of them asked her, are you going to run for president again? I was like, no, I'm not running for president again. I'm like, why? It's like, well, it's not that I wouldn't want to be. It's like, I wouldn't want to take the opportunity from someone else.
Yes. Right.
It just, that doesn't seem fair to not give people who are in a position, whether that has the support of their employer, that has the want to do it. And it's just, it's not fair to the organization. It's not fair to the next generation of leaders to do that.
Yeah, that's right. So if you could go back in time, and if there was one piece of advice you'd give yourself as you started your NALP journey, what do you think that would be?
Wow. I think the biggest thing I would have told myself is to slow down and enjoy the conferences more. Like I said, I've been in the legal recruiting profession for 19 of the last 23 years, and I'm not one of those people that like dread whatever is coming. But the closer you get to it, the more you think about it. And there will come a time where I don't go to the conference, and that's going to be hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet it will be. Well, Tony, I want to thank you for being on the show. I know that everybody else in the association thanks you for your service and what you've done for the group. Thank you again, Tony, for everything you've done for now.
Scott, thank you for having me on.
Hey, this is Scott Love. I'm joined by Rebecca Kalman, the incoming president for NALP. Rebecca, thanks for joining us on the NALP Talk podcast.
Thank you for having me.
That's great. So tell us about yourself. Help people get to know you.
Well, so I'm Rebecca. I have been doing recruiting at law firms for my entire professional career. So I started doing legal recruiting about 17 years ago after thinking that I might want to pursue a career in higher education. I thought I would work in college admissions, be a tour guide. That Right. was sort of my whole plan. And then I ended up meeting somebody who worked for a law firm doing recruiting. I knew nothing about law firms. I'd never aspired to be a lawyer. But she said, I'll never forget it. it's sort of like working in admissions for a law firm. And so I thought, well, that sounds really interesting. And so I began my career as a recruiting assistant, and I just fell in love with it. I wasn't one of those people who thought, oh, that's not the right thing, I'm going to pivot. Right. I just thought, this is it. I've found my calling.
Why is that? Why was that something you were so passionate about?
I think when I was younger, part of it was that I was meeting other people my age starting their career in law school. They were all so excited about this journey. And I was this person who got to interface with them and get them excited about their potential first job. Mm. So that was really fun for me, especially those first 5 years. And now that I'm more senior, I'm a director of recruiting. I also oversee our learning and development initiatives. Now, for me, it's really about counseling those students, coaching them, just sort of hearing about their fears, their hopes. And so it's exciting in a different way. But the student piece for me has always been near and dear to my heart. And I love it. I feel very fortunate to have been able to do this job for so long. I've been at Sullivan and Cromwell for almost 6 years and worked at 4 other firms before getting to SNC. And it's such a joy for me to be able to recruit a cohort of people, watch them come in as summer associates, and then watch them grow and develop.
That's great. Do you think the way you feel about your profession, is that a bond that you think brings people together in NALP?
I do. I think the people who are part of NALP and stay in this community, which, I mean, I've had some friends who have been doing this 20, 30 years, who I've known my whole career. I think we all share a mutual love for supporting law students and lawyers. I think we find joy in mentoring them, coaching them, even if they leave our firms and go on and do something else. Just whenever I see an update on LinkedIn about somebody, whether it's them making partner or they've moved to another firm, maybe they're in government capacity or in-house, I feel excited.
That's great. That's great. And tell us about your NALP journey.
Yeah. So I was very fortunate at my first job that I mentioned at Wilkie Farr & Gallagher. My boss had just been a NALP president herself, Bonnie Hurry. And so from day one, from my interview, I heard about NALP. And she really encouraged me to run for positions even before I was qualified. She encouraged me to go to my first NALP conference back in 2010. And so it was really part of my upbringing in the legal recruiting industry. And it was scary at first. I lost a number of times before I won something, but it was sort of part of the fabric of my professional life. In 2020, after having a number of different NALP positions, I was fortunate enough to be nominated to join the board of directors. And that was really transformational for me, just in terms of learning about NALP's governance structure, learning about all the different sections, all of the volunteers who make NALP work, the NALP staff. And I didn't want to stop being a part of NALP. And so I decided to put myself forward for the president position last year, and then was very fortunate to get slated.
Yeah, that's exciting. And congratulations on that, too.
Thank you.
And tell us about your vision. You're coming into a significant role. What are the things that you want to accomplish? What's kind of the general theme that you have to your presidency?
Yeah, it's a good question. There are a couple of things. I think one big thing, and I don't know if this is a vision or a value, but I want other folks in leadership positions, whether it's a section or a task force, to consider our new members, people who might not be raising their hands at the front of the line, extroverted, but people who, you know, might volunteer an idea quietly. Maybe they're newer to the profession. Maybe they're not sure how to get involved. I want those of us who are more experienced to really reach out to those folks. Maybe ask somebody who's a year away from being what we think of as ready for a role. Let's give them a shot.
Yeah.
I think this is such an inclusive, welcoming community. And I think once people see that and experience that, they tend to want to do more. And so I just want more of our members to feel like they can volunteer. We want to hear their ideas. There's no wrong answer.
Yeah. And so let's say they might be getting some pushback from their employer.
Sure.
And this is something I even have clients, well, it's not in the budget to go to NALP this year. What would you say they should tell the people back at their firms or their colleges on why this is a worthwhile use of time and resources?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I don't have a perfect answer because sometimes it's not going to be the year to go to the conference. And so that year, I would say maybe it's a great opportunity to write a bulletin article. Maybe it's a great opportunity to join a section and volunteer to lead a charge within that section. Those are ways that you can get meaningfully involved if a conference isn't in the cards. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, that we receive hundreds of proposals for these conferences every year by experts in our industry, outside experts. And so I think the learning in and of itself is a reason to go and tell your employer. And I think to the networking, the things that you're going to learn just organically from meeting people.
And I don't think there's anything else out there like now.
I don't think so either. I'm a little bit biased.
Yeah, right.
A touch biased.
So, Rebecca, tell us about your vision for your presidency this year.
I think in addition to really bringing in as many members as possible, one of the task forces that I created this year with the guidance from the rest of the NALP board and senior staff is a task force on change management. Yeah. We actually have a session at the conference on change management. But, you know, we are asked as administrative professionals to deal with so many curveballs, whether it be the merger of two firms. Our recruiting profession right now is going through an enormous amount of change. And I want our members to really feel equipped to lead their organizations through those moments. I want to help them have confidence, have a toolkit, resources, and to really feel like they can go back to stakeholders, whether it's deans, whether it's managing partners, with a real roadmap for whatever that change is. You know, I'm also hoping that this task force can be useful to our mid-level professionals who might be managers for the first time and dealing with changes of that nature. So that is part of my vision that I'm really, really excited about.
Well, that is exciting. And I think that's a really good, I would say it's a mature perspective, because the one thing that is constant is things are going to change.
Yeah.
You can always count on that. You never know when the next natural or man-made disaster is going to change the landscape of the world forever. And all it takes is a hurricane or a little illness, and things can change, as we've seen. And I think the legal industry is hypersensitive to anything. I think that's just the way the lawyers are. They're hypersensitive to risk. They're extremely risk averse. And so I think that is a net positive upside for those people that are serving those constituents, whether it's an educational institution or firm or whatever the entity is, to give them resources.
Yeah.
But they can be ready for no matter what happens. I think that's fantastic. Was there any sort of event that caused you to think of this? Or what was it that really kind of gave birth to that idea?
I think part of our work as directors on the board is doing outreach to members. And I remember doing outreach right after people were starting to come back to the office in 2021, 2022, and talking to chief talent officers at their firms about just hybrid work and just thinking about hearing them think about how to approach that with senior leadership. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward to more recently, I mentioned we're dealing with major changes in how we approach the student recruitment process and just listening to colleagues ideate about it. And I think, you know, I think it can be really hard, especially in a law firm environment, to navigate major changes and then get other people on board. And so as I was hearing just more examples of what my colleagues were thinking about dealing with, issues that they were facing, it seemed like something that we as an organization should have a task force to equip members with the right resources.
That's fantastic. I mean, that solves pretty much every problem.
There you go.
Yeah. I think that gives strength And the way I look at it, because I talk to lawyers all day, lucky me, as a recruiter, they all want to keep practicing. They want to keep serving their clients. They don't want to have to think about all those things that you mentioned. So the people that are on the teams that support the attorneys, you give strength, you give stability to manage those things so that they don't have to think about that. I think that's the value.
I hope so. I agree. My boss, Milana, she has done a lot of work around grit and having a growth mindset. It's what her PhD was in. And so part of it, too, is just sort of thinking about change management as it relates to having that grit and growth mindset.
Yeah.
And I think you really, you know, need to sort of lean into that to be comfortable with change, to lead it with confidence. And I think, you know, the more that our members can do our jobs at the highest possible level, the more we're going to be seen by senior stakeholders as business partners. And I think that's really the goal. That's a cornerstone of NALP.
That's fantastic. Well, I think the vision you have is commendable. It's exciting. I think people can get behind it because they see how it benefits them. It benefits their institutions where they work, but it's really going to help them personally and professionally. So them getting involved, the members and prospective members getting involved, I think conferences are a really good way to integrate people into an organization. And something that I've seen, this is my third conference, I don't think there's a lot of cliques in this group.
I think that's right. We really make an effort to make our newcomers feel welcome, our experienced members feel welcome. We have people who are on the conference planning team with signs saying, join me, sit with me. And so I hope that folks who are coming to this conference, especially for the first time, feel welcome, included.
Right.
We have a number of other annual conferences already scheduled.
Tell us about those.
Very excited about. So we've got Cleveland in the mix for next year. I'm very, very enthusiastic about that. We've got Seattle. We'll be in Hollywood, Florida. And then the year after that, we'll actually be in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So the venues and the cities get planned years and years and years in advance. And it's my pleasure to be able to talk about them and advertise them to our members.
That's great. And I know people are always excited about going to the NALP conferences. So one final question I have. Let's say somebody's listening. They want to get involved. What action steps would you recommend for them to get more involved in NALP?
It's a great question. And there are a number of things you can do depending on how much time you have, your interests. If you are somebody who enjoys writing, a bulletin article is a great thing to do. We are always looking for content for the bulletin. It has a great readership. It's completely electronic. You'll get it delivered to your inbox. If you're somebody who likes to present, I would say throw your name in with an RFP, either for the Cleveland Conference in 2025. We also have a professional development institute in December. It's going to be in Scottsdale, Arizona. So you can submit RFPs for either of those conferences or both. If you're somebody who wants to learn more about the governance of NALP, if you want to get to know other members of the community, I would say join a section. We have a recruiting section. We have a section for experienced professionals, newer professionals, folks who focus on the judicial clerk process. I could go on and on. We have more than 30 different sections, advisory groups. Membership for the sections is open. And so I would say that's a great way to just sort of dip your toe into the NALP waters.
Well, Rebecca, thank you for being here on the show today. And more importantly, thank you for your leadership to the organization.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you for listening to this episode of NALP Talk. For more information about our association, including research and statistics, educational information and conferences, resources, and other initiatives, visit our website at nalp.org.